You follow Jesus and you're going to go into them whether you want to or not if you're following Him. But in that furnace, He'll be with you. That's the promise of Christianity. The promise of Christianity is that there won't be no fiery furnaces. It's, I'll be with you. So therefore, it's going to be okay. We're going to come through it. And when you get through, you won't even be able to smell the burn on you, the stench on your clothes. That's what Christianity is all about. He says, listen to me, y'all. The mere desire is not enough. Some of you in this room desire to be disciples. That's not enough. So important. He gave that second example. Listen to me. We cannot, as Christ's disciples, escape conflict. We're part of a war. Satan rebelled. Didn't you read? And our old self joined in the rebellion. But you see, God, the good news is God has counterattacked. God with foreknowledge has counterattacked. He already knew about it before it happened. Planned the counterattack. Consider the strength of the opposition. They're there. Oh, I'm not talking about demons and the devil. Yes, they're there. But that's not all. That's not all. Yes, I know principalities, powers, and dominions are there, but you got, if that's all, some of you wouldn't have nearly the problem. No, I'm talking about your lost family. I'm talking about your lost boss. I'm talking about your lost friends you go to school with. The opposition is strong. Did you read the parable carefully, though? It didn't just say, consider the strength of your opposition. Consider your own resources. Do you have what it takes? Can you, with 10,000, meet 20 and get the victory? Do you, in fact, have the resources to finish the building? So he wants you to consider both the enemy and its strength and your resources. You say, well, Brother Floyd, I'm not worried. I've got great resources. Why? I'm a lawyer. I'm an engineer. I've got intellect. I've got a diploma. No. We're not talking about that. See, the resource is who's sitting on the throne of your life. That's the resource. Consider that. See, if you are a disciple, He is on the throne. You have the resource with 10,000 to meet 20 and put them to rout. If you go out against them with Jesus sitting on the side and you on the throne, the battle will go against you, saved or not. And you'll be loved by the Lord while you whimper back in defeat. Let me read to you real quickly from Matthew chapter 10. Listen to these verses because they fit exactly here and they'll help you understand about the cross. I'm going to read verse 34 through 39. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. No. You say, I thought the Messiah was going to bring peace. That's the second time, not the first time. The first time all we get is peace of heart and peace of mind as we follow Him. Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Not that we go kill people that don't agree with us doctrinally, but the sword of the Word of the Spirit. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Have any of you begun to follow Jesus with all your heart? Have you really become disciples and you don't understand what went wrong? You made the commitment and everything went wrong, of course. That's called the cross. That's humiliation and shame and deprecation. There has to be that before there is. What happened to Jesus after the cross? Do you remember? After His dishonor and shame and insult and deprecation. Then, 3 days later, there was exaltation, praise, honor, and glory as all heaven received Him up when He brought the cup of His own blood up there and said, Father, You and I in righteousness said the wages of their sin is death. Look, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Here's My blood. A life has been forfeited. It has been paid. Tetelestai, it is finished. And all of heaven is just cheering like wild. They weren't even redeemed. We were. We don't know what's going on in the universe. I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Since you got saved, you and your dad and mom been having some troubles over it? They're worried about you. You've gone off the deep end. You left the Catholic Church, got saved. You left your paganism, got saved. And you're at variance with them. He said, honor them, but you're going to be at variance. How do I do with that? Easy. You walk in the Spirit. That's the only way. It's two different sides of the same coin. You're at variance, but you're honoring them. Your daddy says, you must renounce Jesus. I love you, Dad. Can't do that, though. You honored your father, but you're at variance. And the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be of his own household. Has that happened to any of you since you counted the cost? Now listen, if you're not willing for this to happen, you're not worthy to be a disciple. You're not going to make a disciple. You cannot be a disciple. This is what happens to disciples. So I'm trying to tell you, some of you that think something strange has happened to you since you became a Christian, you can't understand how everyone in your family that loved you 6 weeks ago now thinks you're a weirdo. Read your Bible and you'll say, oh, no wonder. Jesus said that's what was going to happen. May I say this? If it doesn't happen, Jesus lied. Therefore, He isn't Lord. You can go fornicate again. It's okay, because He isn't Lord. See, it would be okay if He isn't Lord. I mean, He's the guy that told us not to fornicate anyway. Oh, it's okay to lie and cheat in your business if Jesus is wrong. Verse 37, he that loves, here's the same teaching we've got. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Do you see, this is explaining to us what he means when he said hating father and mother. When you put the two scriptures together, Don, you see what he means. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How do you know who you choose when there's two opinions and your family and that loyalty is against what you know God wants you to do? And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me, because he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Of course, he that finds his life shall lose it. When you find it, you lose it. You abdicate the throne. You go to the cross and die daily. Then you get resurrection life. And that gets you through the day. Are you seeing it? Oh, praise God, I hope so. Let's finish it and go home. Look quickly. So likewise, verse 33. So likewise, here's his conclusion. Whosoever, See, up until now, some of you were thinking, well, Brother Floyd, I'm glad you came, but I really think this story probably was for those people in the olden days. Oh, that nasty little word, whosoever, is there, isn't it? That got Brother Floyd. Whosoever he is of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. Let me tell you what the word forsake means. It's the same thing as renounce. It doesn't mean that you give everything you have away. Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell everything he had and give to the poor because it was his idol. That was the thing between him and God, and it was better for him to lose all his wealth and go to hell rich. Renouncing everything is to realize that nothing belongs to you and to me. Not even the next breath of air you get belongs to you. It was given by God. Your body, your life, your very being is a gift from God. He called you into existence. And that you are merely, and we are merely stewards of what God has given us. But they're not ours. It is not your wife. Not in the possessive sense. She belongs to God. She's your wife on a short temporary duty assignment. We cannot have what we cling to, because what we're clinging to, we've not given to God. How about your children? I'm afraid to give them to God. What? I'm afraid He'll take them home. You think you can do a better job of taking care of them than He does? You're going to have a choice when He takes one of your kids home. You can curse God for taking your kid home, or you can say, Lord, the kid was 8 years old when you took it home, and I just want to thank you for 8 years that I had with that child. Thank you, Lord. That's Christianity. That's counting the cost. I'm trying to show you that gimmick theology doesn't help you when everything's going wrong. Because you try the gimmick and it may work one time, but the next time it won't work. And it would work every time if it really was the way, the truth, and the life. But the way, the truth, and the life is a person and not a gimmick band-aid doctrine. So what happens tomorrow if you're in a wreck and that beautiful nose you had or the whatever you were so proud of is gone or damaged beyond repair? How are you going to feel about God now? See, we're talking, hey, do you understand that this junk coming out of Tulsa doesn't handle this kind of stuff? Where's prosperity teaching now? Where's confess it and name it now? No, we're talking about lasting medicine now, not just an aspirin to cure a headache that's back tomorrow. We're talking about settling it. Vicky, Jackie, forever. Lord, thank you for the child. If you want her back, I'll miss her. Don't want you to take her, but I will yield. Some of you say, I don't know if I want to make that kind of commitment. It's the only way you're going to be happy. Lloyd, if I make that kind of commitment, he'll send me to Africa. I know. But most of you, he won't. You don't have to go to Africa to find pagans. You got them on the street right there with you. You work with them. You go to bed with some of them. You know what I mean? Cannot be my disciple. Do you understand what he's saying here? Otherwise, we are valueless followers. We are followers, but valueless to the kingdom. He loves us, but we're of no value. Listen to me. If all of these men, these six men right here on this front, if they're all my sons, they're my sons and I love them. But these three will obey me and do what I say, and these three don't. Who do you think I give responsibility and blessings to? Because I love them more? No. No, because they are responsible. They will follow my leading. They will do my bidding. I can trust them with it, and it won't destroy them. Consider the opposition and their strength. Oh, I don't necessarily mean the devil and demons, although that's to be considered, but they're defeated. No, hey, I mean consider your lost wife if you commit to Jesus tonight. I mean consider the rest of your family and their strength against you. The whole family says you're wrong. You got to be wrong. Consider the strength of the whole church that may think you're wrong in making this kind of a commitment. Everyone at the office, consider the strength of the opposition before you go to war. But I want to caution every one of us right there. Caution, caution. Red flags. Ding, ding, ding. It's the train crossing. There's a difference between the offense of the cross, as mentioned in Galatians 5:11, and being an offensive Christian. Some of us are just offensive. Anything is said, you know, we think up some, we beat them over the head with the Scripture, not because we care a fig about them, but just to put them in their place. You smelly Pentecostal, you slimy Methodist, you dirty Baptist, you no good Presbyterian, you slimy Catholic, bam, 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 with six verses of Scripture, and go to hell and I'll be glad you did. He's saying, know what's involved. Jesus wants you and me to know what's involved. That's why he gave these examples. Jesus is being honest with us, so that we don't read these paperback books and says, oh, become a Christian and you'll be rich and everything will go right and you'll just confess things into happening all the time, just victory after victory after victory. It didn't happen to the 11 disciples. What happened to them? Oh, they just didn't understand these wonderful doctrines. Oh, they understood them all right. They didn't believe them. I want you to understand, then, Jesus seeks those who are willing, those who choose to come to Him, on His terms and not on their terms. In the last verse, you're going to love it. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its savor, its saltiness, its zest, with what shall it be seasoned? What are you going to season unsalted salt with? If it's gotten wet, and that quality of it that gives it the flavor has been evaporated away, it's worthless. Put it on eggs and see what it tastes like. It's lousy. It has lost its zest. There's nothing worse than salt that isn't salty. That's what Jesus is saying. Verse 35, it's neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. It's basically good for nothing. And in another gospel story of using salt, that's what he says. It's really good for nothing. But men cast it out. It doesn't say God threw him out of heaven. Said, the example is, it's worthless, so worthless that even men won't fool with it. They throw it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen to me. What he's saying is, salt is valuable only when it possesses saltiness. It's valuable only when it has that sting, that taste, that zest. We have the saying all the time, don't we? Come on. What's one of our favorite sayings? Oh, he's not worth his salt. Isn't that right? What's he saying? Hey, he isn't saying that if you don't do all these things and become a great disciple, we're going to throw you into hell. No, he said it isn't quite that bad yet. We are followers, but valueless to the kingdom. He loves us, but we're of no value. I want to tell you about insanity and a lie. Many of you in this room are saved, but have never witnessed for the Lord. I want to tell you why you don't love him. You hadn't counted the cost. You're not a true disciple. Shirley's not here tonight. Shirley fell in love with me 31 years ago. 31 years ago. We've been married 30 years. When Shirley saw me and met me, we talked 15 minutes. She drove 90 miles back to her hometown, told her mother she had met the boy she was going to marry. And all she did that whole next two or three days was tell every girl in town how wonderful I was. You know why? She had fallen in love with me. It is abnormal. It is sick to be in love with someone and never tell anybody. When you love someone, you talk about them. Now, I want to tell you the difference. So there is a difference. Hear it. See, when Shirley loves me tonight more than she did then. But if you were around her now and she talked about me, it wouldn't sound like back then. Back then was, oh, his eyes are so blue, and he's so wonderful. He can leap tall buildings in a single bound. He can swim. He can dive. Until everyone was sick of hearing about Floyd Jones. When you first get saved, that's the way it ought to be. If you're really a disciple and not just a convert. Amen. It's abnormal. If you're in here tonight and you are a Christian and you've never witnessed for the Lord, never, I didn't say argue about baptism. I didn't say argue about tongues with a Methodist or a Baptist. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about telling people about Jesus. You don't love him. You may not even be born again. You're sick. Right. You're a freak. It would be a freak to fall in love with someone and say, but whatever I do, I won't tell a soul. How odd. But if you heard Shirley talk about me today, it'd be different from that. Her love is deeper. She would tell you how she perceives me. And I'll tell you, she perceives me wonderfully. But you see, as a relationship deepens and matures, so does the tone of the voice. After 30 years, if I walked in here and said, oh, y'all ought to see Shirley, Shirley this, Shirley that, Shirley. After 30 years? The guy, see, that's sick also. Now listen to me. Both the joy and the bubbling over of someone that's just fallen in love, that's normal and that's the way it ought to be. And the fact that it grows and gets to, see, here's the way that goes with a Christian. Oh, y'all, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. I've met Jesus and Jesus is Lord. That's a new convert. That's great. Never put down a baby. That's the way babies ought to sound. That's the way brand new love affairs ought to sound. But see, 10 or 20 years from now, it shouldn't sound like that. It ought to be, hey, both are just as true and just as good and just as pure. But 10 or 20 years go by, look at me. Y'all, Jesus is Lord. See, the emotion part is down deeper. I may not even feel emotion when I tell you something about Shirley. I mean, the first few days I met Shirley, everything I said was emotional. Right? You do remember that, don't you? If some of you old ones forgot that, talk to some of these young kids. But you see, listen. Even right now, as I talk about Shirley, I feel no emotion about her. I'm teaching. My heart is with you, not with her. I can talk about Jennifer right now, or Mindy, or my grandchildren. I feel no emotion whatsoever. I feel nothing. My heart is with you, ministering the good things of God to you. But that does not mean that I do not love them just as deeply. So as time goes by, the sameness, the same truths deepen and show themselves differently. So that some of you older ones may not go around to everybody today saying, well, I want to tell you about Jesus, He's Lord. Let me tell you about the good news of the gospel. Now, that's the way we did it at first. It's just as exciting, but now it might come out more like this. Javier, I really like you, and I love you, and I'm concerned about you. You've got problems, and what you need, Javier, is Jesus. It's different, but both are just as precious and true. And so listen to me, beloved. To begin a commitment to follow him in discipleship, don't do that. Don't do that unless you think about it. Consider what it may cost you. And if you're not willing to count the cost and pay that price, just stick with your fire insurance. You'll be saved, But the eternal rewards are going to be few and far between, and worse. In this life, no deep abiding peace of heart and peace of mind when you go to bed. Peace of heart enough to know that you're saved, but miserable because you know you're demanding your rights before God, which you don't have. Salt is good. That's right. Salt is good. You know, if you didn't know another thing, listen, doctors say salt's bad. No, Jesus said salt's good. Too much salt, that's bad. See, the Bible teaches use versus abuse. Salt is good. This is a parable. It's got a second meaning. Now why put it on an egg? You say, but it's salt? Mm-hmm. It's still sodium chloride, NaCl. It's still a Christian. It's still saved. It's still the same stuff. But it's valueless. If you are born again, you're a convert, but you won't follow Him in discipleship as a real disciple, men will trample you underfoot. They're constantly going to get you because they hate hypocrites. And that's what we are. That's what we are when we don't. And Zach, they're going to say, I thought you said you was a Christian. And he did this. And everybody said, he did this, he did this. See, men are trampling him underfoot. Many of you in here are Christians of no value. You're of no value to the family. You don't care about the rest of us. You think it's your money. You think it's your home, your clothes, your car. We're out and down. You won't help us. It's yours. Wickedness, wickedness. You're either going to choose to be a disciple or accept Jesus' view of you as a convert. Worthless. As a convert. Worthless as a follower. You know, not worthless in that I'm glad you're going to hell, or I want you to go to hell, or I'm going to throw you out of the kingdom. God has a program and a plan. We don't need them. Did you hear that? God has a program and a plan. And in this program and plan, there's something for you and your life. But if you and I will not make this kind of commitment, which He deserves as God, as King, as Lord, as Redeemer, as one who has given His life to purchase us, if we're not willing to follow Him and take some bad mouthing without being offensive back, but at the same time, you don't have to be offensive and tell them about doctrine and everything, but tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the host and the great supper. Then even though you're a convert, you're worthless. Now, a lot of people can't believe that, but it's true. Let's not raise hands, but let's examine ourselves. Examine yourself in fact and in truth. We're on the way to Jerusalem, and we are the new Jerusalem. And Jesus turns on us right now and says, hey, wait a minute, gang. Consider. Consider what you're doing. In truth, are you really my disciple? Because to be a convert and not really count the cost means you're a worthless disciple. And it isn't too late. That's the good news, gang. It is not too late to become a worthwhile disciple. The decision's yours. It's yours. I want to encourage you to make the right decision. Many of you in here have already made the right decision. But to choose to serve, to choose to be a servant of sin and Satan, costs incalculably more than to choose to be a disciple of Jesus. And you are choosing tonight one of the two. Would you stand? Don't be afraid of the Lord. He loves you. Don't be afraid of this decision. Think about what we've said tonight. Your happiness and your rewards as to how much God is going to bless you with for the rest of eternity is hinging on what you're deciding. Be courageous. Count the cost. Trust God. Don't be afraid of the commitment. There'll be times in this life you'll be insulted, humiliated for it. Don't let that strike you as being odd and strange. It happened to Jesus. The question is, what seat at the Great Supper will the host put you at? And don't worry about it. You'll be shocked if you make that commitment. It's a wonder we're even being invited to attend, much less to have one of the seats of honor. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, give us the grace to trust you enough to make the commitment. We've heard your demands and we confess they are just and they are righteous. Forgive us, dear Father, for the years and the times that we have demanded that throne, refusing to step down, to abdicate, because it would mean dying to self. Thank you, Lord, that you don't want us to become a zero, but a new self with resurrection life. To your glory, we dedicate this message. Amen. 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 Amen.